Hello, welcome to our first ever podcast, or our untitled podcast so far. We are excited to get started. Today is April 4th, 2021. This is Easter, and we hope that everybody had a happy Easter with their friends and family. And our podcast is dedicated to North America soccer, including Caribbean and Central America. I feel like there's a lot of teams and nations that don't get a lot of rep, and a lot of leagues that are kind of unknown. And we're trying to help people find this podcast that maybe, you know, their teams are not necessarily in the spotlight all the time, or their players are not in the spotlight all the time. We're hoping that they're able to hear this podcast and enjoy maybe a glimpse of their nations and top players in the world. They either play in Europe or just here in the United States with MLS and Liga MX, and again, Central America and Caribbean leagues. We're very excited to get started. My name is Rudy Segura, and joining me as co-host is my brother, Rodrigo Segura. We are both lovers of soccer. We're very huge fans of specific clubs, but with everything in mind, we're trying to keep this as biased as possible so everybody gets to know their own club and different styles of soccer that we have here in the States. And we are set in the greatest city in the world, which is Houston, Texas, but currently Rodrigo is actually in Dallas, Texas. But we are here to get started, and we hope that you like our content. Rodrigo?
Welcome, guys. This is going to be our first show, and we're going to be focusing on the CONCACAF Champions League and a little bit of the UEFA Champions League, too. We have that coming up. Like Rudy mentioned, we will be focusing on mostly CONCACAF players and throughout their performances in the league. CONCACAF Champions League, and also abroad as well. So we'll be hitting some points as those, trying to expand this North America soccer for everybody to enjoy and learn more about our players here. So Rudy, do you want to get started?
Yeah, so I think it's great that we get started. Again, CONCACAF is a big thing for us. We feel like maybe a lot of the Spanish nations doesn't get a good rep. Or maybe they don't find it in the maybe English version of it. So we're going to do our best to hit as many teams and nations and leagues that they are in our country. And starting today, starting right now with CONCACAF Champions League, the first teams that we're going to talk about, or the first matchups, are Atlanta United against Alajuelense from Costa Rica. So they're actually playing in Costa Rica on Tuesday. And Alajuelense is like in the middle of the season. They're doing pretty good. They're actually in first place, and they were pretty high up last season. That's how they got into the CONCACAF Champions League. And they are actually unbeaten. They haven't lost a game in 16 matches, which is pretty incredible. They have 9 wins, 7 ties, 0 losses. And they have really good players in their squad. They have Brian Ruiz, one of like the best Costa Rican players. They played in England for a long time, as well as Netherlands. And to bring in Ty down to Houston, they actually have Alex Lopez playing with them, which in the recent FIFA friendlies, he scored a really good free kick from outside, like the 20-yard line. And so the team is hitting all cylinders. They have lately had a tie against Herediano. So they're looking to kind of be that surprise team. I feel like this matchup is made for Alajuelense to actually maybe have an upset of, or like a more expensive Atlanta United team that has spent a lot of money and has a new coach in Gabriel Heinze. Atlanta has been playing friendlies. They've had, I believe it's 4 friendlies, if I'm not mistaken, all against quote-unquote second division teams. They look pretty good. They've had just this Sunday, they had a tie actually against Birmingham Legion, which ended 0-0, but Atlanta would be looking into advancing, of course, into the next round with players such as Joseph Martinez, which obviously he's a killer in the box. It would be very exciting to see how, if he's fit to play. I know he came from a pretty gruesome injury, so we'll see if we will get to see him. They do have Ezequiel Barco, and they have a few new players, Santiago Sosa, Marcelino Moreno, and Lisandro Lopez, a veteran, the Argentine veteran, joined the club, was brought by Gabriel Gente. So I think this is going to be a very exciting game. I think this is probably one of the ones that is going to be harder to call. You know, being that we are just in between the NCAA March Madness, these games are definitely could be that, but being that it's a home and away matchup, it's going to be difficult for the smaller teams to win both matches for sure. So this match, man, Rodrigo, this is a hard to call, but I think just because of if Atlanta United has Joseph Martinez playing at 100% between any of these two legs, I see them taking it just because they do have more quality. But with Aguilense being in the first place, it's going to be a really tough matchup. So I'm going to go with the fact that maybe it'll be more of a tie than in this matchup, at least, just because of how it's looking. But yeah, do you want to talk about the next matchup?
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, like you said, I do think it's going to be a hard matchup, especially playing away for most teams. Atlanta looks like a little bit of stronger force on paper, but at the same time, they're not playing in form because they haven't even started their season yet. And like you mentioned, Alajuelense is actually up there, and they're in rhythm. So yeah, definitely it's going to be a struggle, but it's going to be a close game. But on the next game, we have Portland versus Marathon. So we have the Honduran team. They're actually going to be playing. This game will be in the Estadio Olimpico Metropolitano. For those people that want to watch this game, it'll start at 5 p.m. Central Time. Marathon's actually not doing that well this season. They're in their group. They're last. And they've only won two games so far. Have a total of 9 points. In 10 games, so that's going to be a challenge for them. One thing they do have positive is Kevin Arriaga. He made the Olympic team, had a pretty good game, especially in the final against Mexico. So, you know, that's one of the young promises that they have in the team. although he did get red carded last game, so, you know, red cards don't carry over in this international competitions. So it'll be exciting for him to try to develop more of his international level, playing within the CONCACAF Champions League. And for Portland, I don't think they've done any actual preseason games with big teams. It looks like they're taking their season kind of slow, but two of their main players are out and should be coming back, I believe, late May and maybe early June or July, but that's going to be Sebastian Blanco, their number 10 left winger. He was out with a ACL injury, and also their new Polish player, I hope I say this right, but it's Jarosław Niezgoda, their striker. He actually had a pretty good season, but unfortunately ended pretty short. I believe he had that injury against Montreal Impact. So we'll see how strong he can come back. They also just picked up a few players from Liga MX. We have Jose Van Rankin. He formerly played in Chivas and Pumas as well. So we'll probably see him out there. And also there's Felipe Mora, a Chilean player, and we'll see if he can make a difference there. Good news for them, they still have Diego Valeri, the Argentine, so he should be coming pretty strong. And overall, they seem like they will have a pretty solid team. So this is going to be a tough match. But, you know, playing in Honduras is always tough for them. and we'll see if Portland can, you know, pick up a rhythm and see if they can draw or take some points. But we'll see how the match goes.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting whenever you see the MLS teams coming to this and how it's difficult for them to win it just because they're coming from off season and playing a few preseason games with you know, different players and stuff like that. And the next matchup that we have, we actually are talking about Liga MX team Cruz Azul and a first time to the Champions League, Arcahain FC out of Haiti. Man, this one, I believe, I don't ever want to sound disrespectful, but Cruz Azul is in really good shape. They've won five of their last five matches. They're sitting in first place out of a very competitive Liga MX with 11 wins, two losses. And it seems like they're finding a little difficult to score goals. They have 20 goals in favor and 7 against, which in a way is a little weird having 33 points so far. However, the Haitian team, they were in first place last year. That's how they got into winning the championship and making it into this CONCACAF Champions League. And currently they're fighting between first and second place in their table. But this is definitely going to be like David against Goliath. I will find it very difficult for the Haitian team to find results in both matches. I don't want to, again, don't want to sound disrespectful, and I don't hope that it gets out of hand. But I feel like Cruz Azul should comfortably pass to the next phase. Again, it would be with the fact that they are top in their league and they are very good in this type of tournament setup. They'll look for many of their players that foreign and as well as Mexican players like Orbelín Pineda, who saw action in the two friendlies with Mexico recently, as well as a few of their foreign players from Argentina or Peru. They're very active and just continue to keep scoring goals. So I would definitely call the prediction in favor of Cruz Azul on this one. Rodrigo, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, the biggest thing with Cruz Azul is since they're in form, they're trying to compete for that long, long title that they've been dreaming of in the Mexican League. It's going to be how do they prepare for this game, you know, knowing that the opposition might not be as good as them on paper. They might come with a second team trying to see if they can get some points away, and hopefully, you know, they can put it away at home. So that's going to be the biggest thing, you know, the mentality of coming in strong, or do we just kind of lay back, see what our second team can do, and maybe, you know, we can Cruz Azul can go home with some points, with goals more than anything, so, for the second leg. But yeah, it's another thing that they're going to have to kind of look into. But and that'll carry us over to our next matchup, which is going to be León versus Toronto. So that's actually going to be a really good match. We see two strong teams from North America, Mexico, U.S., Canada in this case, but, you know, Toronto plays in the MLS. It's going to be in Estadio Nou Camp in León. So León's going to have the advantage coming in, see if they can get a few goals in, and maybe for the second leg, you know, it'll be easier in Canada. But the main players for León that we're looking at is Joel Campbell, the Costa Rican, you know, has done very well with León, scoring a lot of goals, and we'll probably see him out there on the field as well. We have Luis Montes and Rodolfo Cota, both Mexican players. Cota has done an excellent job with León, has had plenty of saves recently, and he's been playing pretty well. As far as the team, like, they come from winning the tournament last season, and they did kind of had a bump on the road there. They started pretty sloppy, but slowly they've been picking it up. I believe they're playing right now because it's 9 p.m. I'm not sure how that's going, but I can probably look it up later. The record so far, they've only won 4 games, tied twice, and they lost 6 times, giving them a total of 14 points so far. They're pretty low on the table, but they're trying to get in to the party probably for the end of the season and get into the playoffs. Toronto, they look pretty strong. They had a disappointing season, end of the season last year, getting eliminated by Nashville. You know, it's kind of heartbreaking, you know, for them. Really surprising from Nashville. They played an amazing game, gave it their all, and, you know, ended up eliminating one of the bigger teams that everybody thought they had a better chance of winning the tournament. They still have their main players. We're looking to see Omar Gonzalez. He's still leading the backfield. We have Michael Bradley, Alejandro Pozuelo, which has been a really good player for them. The Spaniard has done a big impact. And then we have Jose Altidore, who slowly but surely, you know, he still gets it done. It's a player that we've seen throughout the years. Very well composed, has good strength, and it's going to be interesting seeing, you know, these two teams play each other. They both want to win it. They both want to be the top dog. But, you know, unfortunately, one has to go home. And, you know, you can't just have all the big name teams in one tournament at the end. So it's going to be interesting. To me, it's really close the way Leon is playing and Toronto without really having much of a preseason and, you know, warm up of games. It could go either way, honestly. If Leon can keep a clean sheet at home, I think that'll be good for them. But, you know, Toronto getting an away goal, that's going to be huge. So we'll see. We'll see how this game goes.
Yeah, and I checked on the Leon right now, 30th minute currently, as we speak, 0-0 against Luka. And yeah, you hit it on the nail there when Toronto and Leon is not going to be an easy match, of course. Leon, obviously, in full, I guess, schedule playing in the Liga MX while Toronto is still trying to find rhythm. But I definitely feel it's going to be an uncomfortable match for Leon in the first match. And hopefully by then, the team from the north, it's playing at a better rhythm than they can provide or make it even more difficult for the team. No, that's great. And I looked up too, there wasn't any players from Toronto playing in the qualifier for the Olympics, which is kind of surprising. I feel like they have a pretty good academy. But needless to say, I will move on to the next match, which involves another MLS team being the Philadelphia Union and Costa Rican Deportivo Saprissa. And Philadelphia, we know last season was a great season, probably one of their best seasons in the league when they finished first overall on the table and won their first ever Supporters Shield trophy. They are gonna be someone that is may provide a little bit of an issue for other teams. However, they have lost a lot of players. They lost their defensive their center back being McKenzie. He moved on to a Belgian team. And then Aaron, Aaronson, it's actually moved to play in Salzburg. So he is getting a lot of attention lately. He's a young American poised to maybe take the number 10. If Pulisic doesn't take care of being that attacking-minded player. But again, Philadelphia missing those key pieces for this matchup. Saprissa is not an easy team to go against. We know that their stadium, obviously COVID regulations may have it a little different, but the Purple Monster is there. It's going to definitely affect the matchup. And so I found this is going to be a fun game to watch. I know Saprissa currently sitting in third on their table by like 13 points compared to the first place. So obviously being 16 matches into their season helps them have that rhythm. So Philadelphia, it could be very difficult for them to get started and have a good run. So Parisa has Kendall Watson playing for them, Cristian Bolaños. So there's a few players that will give them a bunch of issues, even though they are veteran players in Saprissa. So Philadelphia has played 4 matches of preseason and actually have struggled. They lost against Orlando City 1-0, Chicago 1-0, Orlando City again 3-1, and on Wednesday they actually beat DC 2-0. And we all know DC is kind of struggling as of late. Had to get a new coach, and it's just in also in a little bit of disarray. So Philadelphia, we're hoping that they can find a rhythm. They have a lot of young players still. Their goalkeeper is a star goalkeeper, Andre Blake, and their captain Alejandro Bedoya should give them and inspire the team to push. And talking about Brendan Harrison, his brother Paxton Harrison, is with the team now, and he's hoping to fill those big shoes that his brother has left when he left for Europe this offseason. But needless to say, this matchup should be a good one. I don't know if there's definitely like a surprising favorite. Again, maybe two teams are similar in their stage of the season when it comes to the teams that they have faced. Philadelphia did not have many players to play in friendlies for their nations, but they will look to push to make it into the next phase of the match. And with that, Rodrigo, I don't know if you have anything to add to this matchup that you see Philadelphia versus Saprissa.
No, like you said, as you mentioned, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Philadelphia, they've had a pretty good run recently, and Saprissa has always been a strong team in Costa Rica. Never an easy game playing there, so it's really going to be interesting. So we'll see how it goes. Carrying over to the next big matchup, and I like this matchup a lot. It's going to be America versus Olimpia. They'll be playing in Honduras, Estadio Nacional. And Olimpia has actually done really well this season. They're first in their group, have 7 wins, only 1 loss and 1 tie, giving them 22 points, but they look pretty solid for what I've seen. And they're facing an America team who has done pretty well as well. And Olimpia has 2 players that I guess we can look out for. It's going to be Jerry Bengston and Michael Chirinos. So we're probably going to see them be the center of attention and trying to get Olimpia some goals there. But it's not going to be easy. America does have still the veteran Ochoa in goal. Gio Dos Santos looks like he's back, and he's been doing pretty well. And Francisco Cordova, 23-year-old Mexican player, just had a pretty good pre-Olympic matches. And, we saw great things from this young player. America is sitting right now at second in the table, and, only 2 losses, which is not bad at all, knowing how competitive the league can get. And they have 10 wins. So I think it's going to determine how Santiago Solari is going to come out with this team. I would assume they'll go everything they have and treat it as a normal game, not holding anything back. Maybe rest a few players here and there, but overall, I think it's going to be a really good match against Olimpia. Playing in Honduras is never easy, so I would expect America to go all out for this game and, make something of it. And hopefully they can come back and do their job in Mexico. So we'll see how that goes. But Olimpia is not really a team that's going to shy away, and it's going to be a battle. I see this as a good game. Any thoughts that you have on this game, Rudy?
Yeah, more than any players necessarily European special and maybe Olympia. It's definitely a difficult match when Mexican teams go to Honduras, period, being a club team or international play. So I expect it to be a tough environment. This America team is definitely filled with a lot of young players. And of course, some veterans like Ochoa, which hopefully gets there over the hump. This is definitely going to be one of those that is a fun match. Again, if it was March Madness, one game, win a goal, it's easy to kind of make it a bold prediction that maybe like the underdog may take the win. But of course, this is going to be an interesting matchup for sure. I guess I will move on to the next match in the CONCACAF Champions League. And we are actually looking at another MLS team, of course, and Columbus Crew, the current champions of the MLS Cup, and a young team out of Nicaragua, if I'm not mistaken, named Real Estelí FC. This is one of those that is definitely in paper. You're looking at a team in Columbus that, you know, being the champions of the league in 2020, should have the upper hand in comparison to this Nicaraguan team that is actually struggling. Even though they won last season, they're struggling by being in fourth place currently. They played 12 matches, they've won 7 of them, draw 2 matches, and lost 3. I apologize. Nicaragua, younger players for sure, investing in hopefully getting the upper hand, probably sitting back, being a little bit more defensive, looking for a counterattack. We'll probably try to take advantage of a Columbus Crew that is hoping to make it far into this tournament after winning a championship in quite a while. I think 2008 was the last time that they won a MLS Cup. So this Columbus Crew is no joke. They've picked up a lot of younger players. Obviously, they have the MVP of the league, basically, last year. And Lucas Elera-Yan, the guy from Tigres. Jesse Sardis has been incredible for them. And you can't say anything better about Darlington Nagbe. But to me, thrown into the mix, Kevin Molino, who had an amazing run with Minnesota United, I would definitely look into him just being that game changer. I know a lot of teams may look into Lucas Elera-Yan for sure as their number 10 that they're going to have to keep an eye on. But yeah, I would definitely put Columbus as the favorite in this matchup just because of the star power that they have. I'm sure Coach Caleb Porter is going to do a great job of having the correct lineup to face this Nicaraguan team at home. And hopefully, you know, all you're trying to do sometimes is get some away goals. So if they can get even a tie match and bring it home to Columbus and take care of business, I can see them as a face. What are you thinking, Rodrigo?
No, definitely. Columbus coming as the champion from the MLS, I think they're setting a lot of expectations to go out there and probably try to be the best MLS team there is, show why they won it. And, you know, this game is going to be one of those things that you're not in preseason anymore. This is basically going into your season, and it's one of those matches that, you know, you lose, you're out. Fortunately, you have 2 legs. Unlike the end of last CONCACAF Champions League, that because of COVID, we ended up cutting it short. But so, yeah, there's still a possibility. Anything can happen, and you know the players need to be focused, and they need to come strong against this, I guess you can say, lower teams that not everybody expects them to win the tournament. But this team's like, from Nicaragua, you're looking to basic win. You know, you want to win, you want to do your best, not just to win a tournament, but to make more players, you know, get more players out there from your country, you know, try to get them to other leagues, develop more players. And I think that's what they're looking for, you know, making a good matchup and having players be noticed. So it's going to be interesting, but we'll see how it goes. I'm with you. I think Columbus is the big favorite, and they should be able to take this. Moving into the next one, we have Club Atlético Pantoja versus Monterrey Rayados. This is going to be in the Dominican Republic. So interesting with Pantoja, it's, you know, their league in the Dominican Republic has only been around for about 6 years now, I believe. I think it started in 2015 when they got this going. I think they had only about 10 teams or so. I think they're up with 12 teams. And the most interesting thing about them qualifying is their qualification got basically closed or not postponed, but it had to be cut off short. So they only played two games. I think having won both games, they had the most points, and they had to automatically qualified into this CONCACAF Champions League. So it's not a team that comes in as a winner of a tournament. So that's going to be really interesting. And it looks like they haven't played since November of 2020. So this is going to be really interesting. They did lose their last three games before that, and we'll see how they come in. I believe COVID has cut their seasons a little bit short right now, so it'll be interesting to see how they come and face Monterrey. And the other side, Monterrey has actually done pretty well so far. They're third in the league. They've only lost twice, and El Vasco Aguirre, you know, he shows up back on the map and trying to make a name for himself back in Mexico by trying to make this team go to the final and win it. You know, they do have young players like Carlos Rodriguez. So we saw him in the pre-Olympic with Mexico, and, you know, he played pretty well. We also have Jesus Gallardo. And you can't forget, you know, Layun, still pretty cornerstone of that defense. You know, when he plays, he actually does really well. And then you have the top three on top that most likely are going to be Dorlan Pavón, Rogelio Funes Mori, and you have Aviles Hurtado. You know, that 3-0 has actually done pretty well. And they've been scoring goals. So we'll see how they go against Pantoja and see if the Dominican side can maybe pull an upset, or, you know, if it's going to be just Monterrey being the favorite here.
But, yeah, you can easily see Monterrey just running with it, right? Just because of the inexperienced teams that they're going to be playing. Obviously, a part of being new to the Champions League setup and small tournament. I mean, they're playing one of the probably best teams in the region. So, no easy task for sure for Pantoja, but at the same time, even if Monterrey comes out with maybe a B team setup, they could still be a rough game for the Dominican Republic team. Well, with that, you know, we are very excited. I know I am very excited on this Champions League to begin. It's something that we are able to see teams that we are more or less familiar with than we expect. For it to continue to be a Liga MX versus MLS matchups, I guess that's who's basically fighting. In my opinion, as much as I'm really hoping that MLS can win one of them, this tournament, I just find it that a lot of the teams here are not necessarily favors like we had in the past. But you never know. You know, this setup looks like it's not going to be shortened. I know you did mention about one of the teams that didn't play a lot, which I guess it was the one from Dominican Republic, which you never know. That may be voided or postponed indefinitely because of COVID, and maybe Monterrey gets to move on even without even playing. But besides that, I do feel that you know, you don't have like an LAFC, somebody with like a huge for sure star. But Columbus could be that team. You know, they're very, like, their work ethic is good. They're there to show, obviously, they're the champions. They didn't really lose any big names. They don't have major injuries, so they could be quietly the dark horse that, maybe not favorites, but they could make a run for the final, and who knows? I mean, it'd be, to me, in my perspective, it'd be great to see an MLS team take this one, especially, you know, seeing how Tigres last season won it and went to the final of the Club World Cup in December. And so it'd be interesting to see that happening, especially with the fact that in the future, this tournament is going to grow bigger. More teams are going to be in it, making it a little bit difficult. But at the same time, there's definitely going to be more teams from North and Central America to be in it. So, yeah, interesting. So I guess I will kick off to our next subject, which is still keeping it Champions League related. This time we're moving to the European, the UEFA Champions League. And we'll start with Manchester City playing Borussia Dortmund. So Manchester City, we can say it's going to win the EPL, right? Like, they're 14 points ahead of everybody. It's going to be very difficult for them to lose grip on that. They should be the favorites, right, in this matchup, just because of, like, they play in a better league, quote unquote. They call it the top league in the world. You know, Manchester United is behind them in second place by 14 points. Again, it's a huge, huge, huge pull away for them in the champion. I mean, in the EPL. So, with that being said, they've been doing pretty good. They did lose one game in the last five. So they are in a way gonna be the team that, you know, being that it's a two-leg matchup against Borussia Dortmund, Man City has just like the better quality. I don't want to say they have the better coach, but I do believe Pep Guardiola is just a much better coach, just in the world period. So it'd be fun to see what Man City can do. I know that Agüero recently pretty much said his farewell for the club. And I mean, Agüero is somebody just very historic for Man City. So this could be the push that takes Man City into striving to win it. Maybe for Agüero, or Agüero winning it for Man City in the Champions League, they're falling short. That's a lot of room for Man City. There's a ton of great players. You know, you have Kevin De Bruyne, you have Gundogan, you have Gabriel De Jesus, like a ton of just so much star power in that team. And so we should see how exactly Pep Guardiola comes out to play against a Dortmund that is fifth in the league currently. They're sitting behind even Frankfurt. So, you know, they're not in the best of shape like they've been in the past, but they still play in a really competitive league. They still could be the ones that surprise Man City. They can catch them on their toes. And, you know, having a really good player like the Norwegian Erling Haaland, I mean, he's just on fire. He just keeps scoring left and right. So it's definitely going to be a matchup to keep an eye on. I don't think there's necessarily a specific favorite, as much as I do want to push towards Man City. But again, Marco Rose can be anything, and if we learn anything, the CONCACAF players are a topic that we'd love to hit in this untitled show, right? Correctly. But you know, you have Giovanni Reyna, which his father was an amazing national team player, and he himself at a young age is finding him being called up to the matches, and he played in two of the friendlies that the U.S. Played last week, and he shows that he has a ton of talent. And you know, he may not be necessarily the star or elite player yet for this team in Borussia Dortmund, but he may find himself like Pulisic did and continue to find minutes. And he needs to strive to just finish plays in front of goals and continue to strive and push the team into an attacking position so Erling can score goals. And who knows, maybe they can surprise Man City. Again, this team, the matchup is being played in at their home, I believe. Yep. Or sorry, they're playing in Manchester City first. And so who knows if they can, they're able to hold Man City to a scoreless match, or if they can find themselves an away goal. It can be a fun second leg. What are you thinking, Rodrigo?
No, definitely. And like you said, Man City is probably a powerhouse right now. They're kind of hadn't lost, I think, until they lost against Manchester United. So they had, I think, a 19 or almost 20 unbeaten streak, which is pretty impressive, especially, you know, in all competitions. They come pretty strong. Borussia Dortmund, I believe they lost this weekend. I would have to pull up the stat line on that. But yeah, they're kind of struggling, so we'll try to see the best matchup there. Talking about our North American players, we also have Zach Steffen as the goalkeeper in Manchester City. Most likely not going to be playing for this game. He's only played one Champions League, and I believe that was against Marseille. And Manchester City, I believe, won 3-0. So, you know, he's getting some low minutes, low playing time. I wouldn't be surprised if they do loan him out again. But we'll see. It's just one of those things that our young players in the for the U.S. and other countries, we're trying to develop players, and, you know, we're one of the best players as well. But it's always important to get some minutes in. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting match. Other than that, we can, I guess, move on to another exciting game. We have Real Madrid versus Liverpool. So yeah, this is a huge game. We're trying to, Liverpool definitely coming back from the 2018 loss of the Champions League final. And they have a strong team, but they do suffer a lot of injuries as of late. And as we all know, Virgil van Dijk has been out for the season, as well as Joe Gomez has been out for the season, both of them with some knee injuries. And that's been the biggest key for them. I believe they've been through about 14 different combinations of center backs, mostly playing their midfield back with Hendo, and now he's Jordan Henderson is out. Looks like for probably the rest of the season. If not, if he can come back early, then he might. But yeah, the new thing for Liverpool on the center backs, you're looking at Ozan Kabak, the Turkish national player, and you have Nathaniel Phillips. So in their last four games together as the actual center backs, they've kept four clean sheets. So this is a promising young talent that Liverpool finally got narrowed down and to be able to pair them up together, kind of freed up those midfield players that were dropping back and playing center backs to actually play midfield. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, it just came from beating Arsenal 3-0, and you know, they're sixth in the league, trying to clinch any kind of, you know, Europa League or obviously Champions League spot again. But it's going to be tough with those injuries that hurt early in the season, and it looks like now they're starting to get a rhythm going. Obviously going to play at Santiago Bernabeu is not going to be a easy task, and, you know, Madrid is in pretty good form. The biggest injury for them would be Sergio Ramos. He looks like he's going to be out for at least the next few games. So if you don't expect them to be playing Tuesday's match. And I believe he's also out for the Clásico against Barcelona the following week. So, and then coming back to Anfield. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be, you know, Madrid without their captain, and although they still have good players and top players, making them second in the table with 63 points, lost only four times this season, and they just had a victory over Eibar. So it's going to be interesting. I'm a huge Liverpool supporter, so I obviously want Liverpool to go out there and win away, and obviously win at home as well, and go on to the next round, but it's not going to be an easy challenge for them. So yeah, do you have any thoughts on this game, Rudy?
I do want you guys to, whenever he said he started with we, I was about to say he's a big Liverpool fan. So yeah, I know he's trying his hardest not to be biased for sure. But in this scenario, I mean, when your team's in it to win it, you know, you definitely have to see yourself. But no, I think this is a great matchup. Like you mentioned, Real Madrid is still, it may not be the Real Madrid from a couple years ago, but still, Real Madrid is Real Madrid, right? Like, they have so many amazing players and just star power. And I think Sergio Ramos is definitely like a big key that they're going to miss. Not necessarily, you know, he's not out there scoring goals or just maybe the bestest defender in the world ever right now, especially with injuries, but I think he's still one of the best. And he is so poised, and you can definitely feel that he is a great captain for that Real Madrid team, and he just gives them that extra push that they need. So we should see what happens. I think Liverpool has plenty of injuries as well, and Real Madrid is, you know, like limping as well. Karim Benzema has been on fire as of late, so this is going to be a good two-leg matchup. Starting this one, really can't really call any or a favorite in this matchup. Definitely going to be one to watch and see how intriguing it ends up being. And with that being said, I'll go right ahead and jump into the last matchup of the Champions League. UEFA Champions League, which is Porto against Chelsea.
No, go ahead. I'm saying it's not the last matchup. We still have Bayern versus PSG. Oh. So go ahead and
the next matchup. I apologize. Yeah. So the next matchup versus Porto FC and Chelsea FC. I think this right here is probably my favorite matchup. The reason why is because I feel Porto did not get as much love as they should have been. I feel like they were very disrespected when they beat Juventus, and everything that was being talked about was about Juventus and Cristiano Ronaldo, and Ronaldo, if he let down Juventus or Juventus let down Ronaldo. Anyway, that's not the point. Porto ended up coming to both of the matchups and just showing up and balling out. You know, sometimes it wasn't a pretty win for them for sure, but they did what they had to do to keep going. Now they're going to be facing a Chelsea FC team that it's maybe struggling a bit, but I mean, who doesn't struggle in, you know, a top tier league like the Premier League? They are star-studded, Chelsea is, compared to Porto, but both of them have been having great matchups. Sadly, Chelsea lost to West Brom, which is in 19th place, looking at relegation. And Porto's actually sitting in second to a Sporting Lisbon team that actually struggled last year, which is kind of impressive. But anyways, this is a great matchup because we have a few CONCACAF players. They're just doing, you know, playing very well. With both teams, Christian Pulisic again played for the United States men's national team, and he played well enough. He was a little quiet in a few of the matchups, started kind of slow, but eventually within 30 minutes of playing, he found his rhythm and started just being that aggressive and playing on the wing side, creating opportunities for his teammates, and playing similar position for the Mexico national team. It's actually Tecatito. Corona has been playing very well for Porto. He was actually named the best player of the league in Portugal last year. And the kid is a kid, right? But he's 28 years old. He's been playing very well. He's just one of the players that just very scrappy, very quick, good with the ball, can play as a defender or as a winger, even striker at times. And, you know, Porto has plenty of experience with Pepe in the back. He's definitely not the same Pepe that we knew, kicking players, when they're down and getting a ton of red cards. But I mean, this Pep is still like is very well defensively. He is their captain, and this team is just gonna be a fun match, I believe. I don't want to say Porto is my like the favorite to win the Champions League because I think they are not, but I are definitely rooting for them again, being kind of the dark horse of this the teams that are currently left, and feel like they were again very disrespected for a big thing that they did by beating Juventus in the last phase of the tournament. So with that, just seeing how good these matchups are, they're just a bunch of players. They are gonna go out and just play their hardest. And so, being that we're gonna watch the game being played, do you know what? I just noticed this. They are supposed to be playing in Sevilla, which I don't know if that's correct, but maybe it is because of COVID. But yeah, no, this is a great matchup, and I apologize for saying this was the last matchup of the Champions League. But Rodrigo, if you have any more thoughts or if you want to add, or go ahead, man, and finish the last matchup we were looking at for this.
Yeah, I definitely don't know right now the structure of the COVID rules for Portugal and England. I know there's a lot of European countries being closed off. They might be playing in Spain. I know that the German teams had to do that, and I believe some of the Italians had to move places as well. And then the Europa League, I believe Arsenal had to play in Greece for a couple of ones before. So yeah, that could be a possibility. But no, it's going to be a good matchup between Chelsea and Porto. Definitely, I believe two evenly matched teams right now at their level. Well, we'll see. None of them really have big injuries. And, you know, Thiago did get red carded against that Bromwich team. So, you know, that was a big impact for them. But nonetheless, we'll be moving on to Bayern versus PSG. So we have another rematch of a final. You know, Liverpool, Madrid was one, and this is the second one literally from last season. It's going to be the most interesting one, not just because it's a recent rematch, but both teams come in somewhat of a disadvantage. You have Bayern without Lewandowski. It's a big blow to them. It's they're like everybody knows top striker in the league, possibly the top striker in the world right now. So that's going to be really interesting without him. See how they come up. We do have Alphonso Davies. A Canadian player, you know, he's such a young player, such a great player out there, and he's actually done pretty well. It's amazing how he earned his starting spot at only being, I believe, 19 years old, and he's been showing up to every game, playing hard. And last year we saw that against Barcelona, how well he dominated the wing. And hopefully, you know, he's trying to look for big games and put, you know, more Canadians out there. That doesn't matter where you come from, you know, you can play in Bayern Munich, and that's what we want. That's what we want, players like him to develop more of the North American players and playing abroad in Europe, and, you know, bringing them back home or developing players so we can have better international teams. But that being said, you know, he's playing against PSG, which PSG right now, it looks like they're in a slump. A little bit of frustrating game they had against Lille yesterday. Neymar actually got red carded. So this is a frustration. They ended up losing 1-0. They do have Keylor Navas, the Costa Rican, so he's been pretty solid in the back for them, although for this game, only 3 shots on goal, and he only made 2 saves. But, you know, it's always that, you know, 1 goal, and that's it. So PSG is a little bit frustrated. They do want that revenge game against Bayern Munich and being able to be the ones to knock them out and hopefully give them the chance to win their first Champions League ever. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game. And I believe both of them are not being favored to be one over the other. It's just the way it is. And Mbappe has been playing really well. And and he's looking to, you know, get that knock banger out and be that team to get some revenge on them. But as far as it goes, it's still a really good game. Any thoughts on this game, Rudy?
Yeah, man, I agree. Going back real quick to Alphonso Davies, man, like, I feel that story is such a good story for the MLS, being that he's a young kid, you know, came to Canada pretty early in age, and went through the academy, jumped into Vancouver. And I mean, from the when he started at 15, 16, you saw this kid being something else, and then seeing him jump to pretty much right away, just taking over that left back position with Bayern Munich and just making it his own at 19, that's ridiculous. So we definitely need more of those stories coming from the MLS and just Liga MX and any league like that you see kids thriving. But yeah, I agree 110% with you. I feel like this matchup is probably the best one, if not maybe right behind the Real Madrid Liverpool. But I feel that in that matchup, there's a lot of injuries, so it may not feel necessarily the same. But this PSG Bayern Munich is just a final again. And, you know, you're not even, you still have a couple more matches before you get to the final. So I don't necessarily see a favorite. PSG is standing in second right now in their league, so I'm sure they're not that far away. I think they're only down by 3 points. So they're going to definitely look into winning this against Bayern Munich and trying to get that coveted Champions League title like by Mbappe and Neymar that they desperately want. However, I do feel that if Bayern Munich wins again phase against PSG, they may be the ones to win it again. They just have a better team. They're not have a ton of injuries. Of course, Lewandowski is a big miss for them, but they do work like a very fine machine. They all the players kind of pull together, so they just have this firepower that they can easily be the ones to win it. They just beat Red Bull Leipzig as well as Stuttgart and a bunch of teams that are just, you know, they're not terrible teams, and the German league is a very good league. So needless to say, that's kind of what I see out of it. I don't know if you have any more closing thoughts, maybe like what do you feel this Champions League is looking like? I know there's only 8 remaining teams. Do you feel that there's anybody in particular that has a better upside throughout the tournament?
Definitely, I think in my perspective, I believe Man City is coming with the strongest team right now. Like I said, they have really good players. Most of them are healthy, that haven't had any big injuries as of late. So they're probably coming with the strongest. And actually, one interesting thing that I was looking at is this 8 teams remaining. They all come from either first being first in their league, winning the league, being second place or third place. There's really nobody that's actually haven't done that bad recently, you can say, or made it by, you know, a little bit less than means of what it gets to get to be a Champions League team. But yeah, so it's going to be, you have Liverpool, who obviously won the EPL, and Madrid that as well won the La Liga, and PSG won their league, Bayern won their league. I believe Dortmund was second in the league, Porto won the league. You have Chelsea, who was the only team that came in third, but everybody else really did a good job. So it's going to be a tough match. The form is a little bit different this year, but you know, they're still big teams. So once they're in there for a reason. They can adapt and they can play very well. So I'm excited. I'm excited to, you know, come Tuesday watching these games. Obviously, if you're in the U.S. We're going to be watching this first, and then we'll be moving into the CONCACAF Champions League. So it's going to be a little bit of a pregame snack, you know, if you want to enjoy those CONCACAF Champions League games, which are, you know, good football that we can watch, and people, you know, can start seeing the players we have. And some of those players, you know, have played in the CONCACAF Champions League and moved on to Europe, and now playing UEFA Champions League. I believe one of those has been Tecatito. You know, he played with Monterrey, and he played a couple of Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League, and now he's playing in UEFA Champions League. So it's interesting to see these players grow and move, and that's kind of what we hope to get out of this. You know, we want to follow those CONCACAF Champions players and move on to Europe or become a big name in our league, you know, whether it's the MLS or the Mexican League. But most importantly, we want to see them in the World Cup. You know, Alfonso Davies, he's the young player, Canada, and we want to see him, you know, compete in the World Cup, take his team up there. But as well, you know, we have Mexico and the U.S. that are two strong forces that are trying to qualify. And the last World Cup, the U.S. has a lot of things to accomplish this new World Cup. Qualifying is going to be the biggest challenge for them, and everybody knows that they basically have a target of like, hey, you got to qualify, or you know, something's going to change. But we need them so the U.S. soccer can grow, and more teams and more people around the world can take the U.S., Mexico, Canada, and all of Central America a little bit more serious than it's been in the recent years. We have, you know, Costa Rica, they've had great players come out, and Keylor Navas, you know, with PSG, and Madrid, he's done an amazing job for them. And Costa Rica, you know, made it to the World Cup. So that's what we're trying to get out of this. We're trying to highlight those North American soccer players that have made it, and we would just want to see the young talent grow. And hopefully you guys enjoy this as we go, describing kind of the potential and the games that we'll be seeing in the recent matchups.
Yeah, I think it's you are absolutely 110%, you know, like when this game's in the Champions League, when it comes to CONCACAF, again, the joke is that it's always MLS versus Liga MX, but even those Honduran teams and Nicaraguan team, like, they are there to be showcased. And maybe the way that some of their players, you know, are able to have the opportunity to play in bigger leagues, you know, showcase themselves, move to either Liga MX or MLS, and eventually move to Europe. Like in the past, you know, we've seen like teams like Olympia being a wrecking ball and just causing a lot of mayhem in this Champions League, and seen players like Kyoto, Albert Deliz move to MLS and eventually make some of them making that jump to Europe. I mean, it's very good to see, and we hope that CONCACAF continues to grow, and like you mentioned earlier, that other teams or other leagues and in the world, including the European leagues, are able to pick players from our side of the world, and we hope to see them continue to grow and just be beneficial, because at one point we were definitely the joke of the other confederations, right? It was always like, oh, this is just CONCACAF, like it's only Mexico that makes it out of there, or the U.S. But the other leagues are getting better, and more money is being put into them, and it's just this leagues like the MLS are not a retirement league anymore. It's very competitive, a lot of young talent that wants to showcase, maybe have a better life outside of their countries, and as well looking for an opportunity to showcase themselves and move to a better league. But with that being said, we are very happy that you guys joined us for our first episode. Hopefully by next episode we have a title to our podcast, but we're very excited to get started. And like Rodrigo mentioned, what we want to do is just talk more about maybe teams and leagues that are not heard of, as well as players that may be lost in transition. So we're excited to, you know, when more World Cup qualifications start, that we're able to like pinpoint on teams such as El Salvador, Honduras, Haiti, Costa Rica, Mexico, the U.S., et cetera, et cetera, and just give them a shout. And we hope that you are able to listen to it in your language. Obviously, me and Rodrigo, we both speak Spanish, so if maybe there's something that you would like to hear that you feel that you don't get much elsewhere, then feel free to, you know, hit us up probably through Twitter, and we'll get that information up to you guys. If you and that's what we like to do. We love talking soccer, and we love you know, being in North America, seeing exciting things happening here. So we're very excited, and we hope to hear from you again. All right.